murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, we might want to talk in a moment about the appropriateness of what is appropriate to put on Instagram posts when there's very little context to what you say and so many people read it just at face value. I don't want to talk about that. But it's fair to say that condemnation has been swift from the media, from governing bodies, from clubs, from sponsors, from both current and ex-players and the wider rugby community. And Twitter response, as you can imagine, has ranged from hatred to offensive abuse and also being patronized. Let me read just two. Gives you a flavor. This is the biggest load of beep I have ever read. Sports has no place for this beep. Keep it to hate groups, Izzy Folau. You aren't spreading the Lord's word. You are spreading hate. You're an unreal player, but beep, misinformed bigot. Or someone else writes, I don't write this with hate or anger after Israel Folau's comments. I write with sympathy. To everyone who reads it, don't be influenced by his words. Be the better person and be you. Whoever you is, hell doesn't await you. Happiness awaits you. That is the gospel of our culture. Very succinctly put. Rugby Australia responded with this. Whilst Israel is entitled to his religious beliefs, the way in which he has expressed these beliefs is inconsistent with the values of the sport. We want to make it clear that he does not speak for the game with his recent social media posts. In the absence of compelling mitigating factors, it is our intention to terminate his contract. And I want to suggest to you that that is an extraordinary thing to do. You don't have to agree with what Izzy Folau wrote. I don't think when he wrote that he was trying to represent rugby, as they've suggested here, and needed to clarify. You don't have to agree with him. But for someone's international career to be stopped is an extraordinary thing to do. Hillsong pastor in Sydney, Brian Houston, one of the world's largest churches, tweeted, but interestingly later deleted this. So sad about the Israel Folau situation. His way is not the right way, Houston tweeted. It does not reflect the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. The New Testament is clear, but grace does not point fingers. It recognizes our own sinfulness, but by the grace of God. Don't you think to that? Maybe he's trying to tap into, was this the most appropriate way of doing it? I don't know. That's a generous approach to Houston. But I wonder what Houston would say to Galatians 5, 19 to 21. Is that pointing the finger? I think grace does, doesn't it? It points the finger at our sin and then points to the cross. We might want to discuss that. Very interesting, though, from Alan Jones, commentator and former Australian coach. He's pointing the finger at Rugby Australia. Listen to what he says. Rugby Australia are only worried about the quids. They're only worried about the sponsorship. That's why they asked Israel to sign a contract in which he wouldn't say this and he wouldn't say that, and that his views would be consistent with Rugby Australia's sponsor, Qantas. He's made comments about religion. Who will end up in heaven? Who will end up in hell? Who cares? It's an opinion. I don't necessarily agree with what he said, by the way, but a lot of people don't agree with what I say. We're going down a very, very narrow road here, and this has gone on and on and on, this beep. I'm telling you, out there, there are people who are terrified of saying anything. They're frightened. They don't know what they can say. We're on a slippery slope here. It's not got anything to do with Israel, or rugby, or religion, or homosexuals, or whatever. Where are we in this country on free speech? Jones is not a Christian, but very interesting comments. And I think that is what the issue is here. It is about freedom of speech. We might want to talk about how we appropriately confront people with sin and with the gospel. And an appropriate use of social media to do that. What do you say? When? But that isn't really the issue here. The issue is about freedom of speech. What someone puts on their personal Instagram post. Sure, Folau has a huge following, so he's influential. But are we not grown up enough to have people with difference of opinion? Do we have to censor that? And very interestingly and worryingly, for liking Folau's post, Billy Vunipola, a fellow international rugby player, another Christian, has been formally warned by his Saracens club. So he liked the post. He put a like on the post. He's been formally warned by his club Saracens and has been called to a meeting with the RFU this week and was roundly booed by the crowds of the weekend. And we'll have a look at his post in a moment and see how reasonable it is. But extraordinary that he gets booed by the crowds over this issue here. Well, I think that's helpful to have got just a bit of a feel for what's going on. I hope that's give you some background. Why don't we get into groups of four or five? What is your response, A, to his post, but I think more significantly, the way that he's been treated regarding that post? Okay, let's spend 3 or 4 minutes just in groups of four or five. Talking that through. Then we'll come back together and we'll try and reflect on that from a Christian worldview as well. Thank you, yeah. Yeah, it's not just about not saying things that people don't agree with. You've got to agree with what they believe. Yeah. Let's turn over. Christians in Sport did a great, one of their trustees, Pete Nichols, did a great blog on this recently called Folau, Vunipola and the Intolerance of the Culture of Tolerance. And I want to just reflect on this now. So he writes this, it's not the whole article. Whilst not denying the provocative character of Folau's original post, we should not miss the way that these events have exposed the concerning nature of a new colonialism that holds sway in our society. And increasingly in sport. Those who don't study history are destined to repeat its mistakes. And that's just what we're doing. Colonialism at its most strident was a set of ideals that were so impregnable and beyond critique that they legitimized the steamrolling of whatever stood in their way. The well-honed belief that the West was further down the arc of history in technological and ethical terms than the majority of the rest of the world was absolute. Therefore, the sooner the rest of the world accepted the Western consensus, or if they refused to accept it, was forced to adopt it, the better. As such, minority rights were ridden over roughshod. Other cultures and their norms were forced to adopt the Western order of things. And perhaps most concerning, all of this was done without a moment's pause and self-examination. Are we actually right to think that we're right? The character of Folau's post has been accused of being provocative and further of lacking compassion. However, the content that Billy Vunipola is defending, with which Christians in Sport aligns its historical Orthodox Christianity, which holds that God's good design for sex is within heterosexual marriage. What Vinopola's response flushed out is that it's not really the provocative character of the communication people are taking issue with, but with the content that goes against the current Western consensus. Vunipola's Instagram message was very measured. Here it is in full, because it's interesting how little it's been quoted in full. Now, here's Vunipola's response explaining why he liked Folau's post. So this morning I got 3 phone calls from people telling me to unlike the Izzy Folau post. This is my position on it. I don't hate anyone. Neither do I think I'm perfect. There just comes a point when you insult what I grew up believing, in that you just say enough is enough. What he's saying isn't that he doesn't like or love those people. He's saying how we live our lives need to be closer to how God intended them to be. Man was made for woman, to procreate. That was the goal, no? I'm not perfect. I'm at least everything on that list, at least at one point in my life. It hurts to know that. But that's why I believe there's a God to guide and protect us and to forgive our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Now, one of the things in the warning to Vinopola from the Rugby Association was that he had lacked respect and humility. You know, the guy's just said, I'm guilty at one point in my life of every one of those things. That's not humility. I don't know what is. So, notice the character of the post, the Christians in Port blog goes on. It is staggering that Saracens would imply it lacks respect or humility unless now de facto, any opinion that contradicts the Western consensus is disgraceful and proud. Notice also the content of his post. Quote, there just comes a point when you insult what I grew up believing and that you say enough is enough. For Vinopola, this is about beliefs which are a core part of his Tongan and South Pacific Island heritage. And what are these incredibly controversial beliefs that should draw such sharp condemnation? Quote, man was made for woman to procreate. It's a view that is still the majority view globally, which was the Western consensus until this generation, and that only changed when gay marriage was enacted in UK law in 2014. But such facts don't come into play when you are right. And the West is right, right? It's provocative, but incredibly helpful. Let's not forget that where our culture is today, it wasn't 10 years ago. And our culture is divinely right and has the right to terminate an international career over ideas that have become established only within the last decade or so. That is extraordinary bigotry and arrogance. We have to come to grips with a new tolerance. The danger is we get angry about it. We mustn't. That is to be like the world. We need to show grace. So here we go. Here's a couple of things. How are we doing on time? All societies express tolerance somewhere. All tolerance presupposes givens in a culture, things a culture believes, and how much deviation you allow from those givens, legal and social. More tolerant societies allow greater deviation from the norm, allow a difference of opinion. The old tolerance viewed that some things were right and others were wrong. People tolerated people's rights to difference of opinion. But in the new tolerance, there are two changes. Firstly, you are not supposed to say or even think that the other person is wrong. That is to be intolerant. Everyone's view is right. The only thing that is wrong is to say that others are wrong, unless it involves what society collectively deems as harmful. But even harmful is subjective. This new tolerance is the new intolerance in our culture. It sweeps aside all opposition under the charge of bigotry. By the way, it's why they crucified Christ, because they didn't like his views, what he was saying. Just get rid of him. Just strike him off from being an international rugby player. Just get rid of him. So hate speech is one of the most serious charges. So that's the first thing. You're not supposed to say or even think the other person's wrong. Secondly, this new tolerance is dictated by the prevailing worldview and is the supreme good. So saying something is wrong need not be taken seriously if it has gone against what society has accepted as a given. I want to just ask the question, what is the warning of two, it should be 2 Timothy there, not 1 Timothy. Grab a Bible, 2 Timothy 1. Timothy 1:6-8 says this, for this reason I remind you, Timothy, to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. Remember, Paul is in prison on death row, nearing the end of his life, for the gospel. For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. So do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord, or of me, his prisoner. Rather, join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God. There's a reason why Paul needed to say it to Timothy. Let's just read on the other quotes there, 11 to 15. And of this gospel I was appointed a herald and an apostle and a teacher. That is why I'm suffering as I am. Yet this is no cause for shame, because I know whom I believed. I'm convinced he's able to guard what I've entrusted to him against that day. What you have heard from me, keep as the pattern of sound teaching with faith and love in Christ Jesus. Guard the good deposit was entrusted to you. Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit. And just turn over to, and here's why he needed to say this to Timothy, to chapter 4, verse 16 to 18. He's talking about the church here. This is incredibly painful. Fellow believers, at my first offense, no one came to my support, but everyone deserted me. May it not be held against them. But the Lord stood at my side and gave me strength so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed, etc. There's a warning there, isn't there, that it would be easy to say, well, Falau was a bit insensitive, maybe not the best place to put his Instagram post. But let's get the bigger perspective here. Here's a brother who, it might have been slightly misplaced how he did it, but he's speaking truth. Let's not distance ourselves from him. Let's be prepared to suffer with those who suffer for the gospel. And the question here, how can we sensibly proclaim the truth claims of the Bible in our intolerant culture? What can we expect? Just reflections on that. We're pretty much out of time, but we've got a couple of minutes. Just reflections on that to come back on. Some help on how we can proclaim the truth, the ultimate truth claims of the Bible. What we might expect for that. But then we wouldn't be teaching the Bible because the Bible calls our sins out individually. So I think there's an issue there about the appropriateness of an Instagram post. But we must never not call out what the Bible calls out. So if the Bible lists the passage, I mean, let's imagine I was preaching on Galatians 5, 19 to 21. I'm going to mention those sins. I'm not going to just talk generally. Because the Bible calls out individual sins. I've got to do that. So I know what you're saying. I may be more generally on an Instagram post. That's appropriate. Yeah. Right. And thank you. I think that's a helpful clarification for David's point there, that speaking generally, there's a way of taking the general principle of repentance and applying it actually very personally. I think that's helpful. Yeah, thank you. Yeah. There was another hand. I think there's another whole discussion about what do you post on Instagram? How do you do that helpfully? Because it's out of context. And you know, the question earlier, why did he write it? Well, that's a good question. I don't know. Any other points? Reflections? I mean, I think the reality is we can expect and shouldn't be surprised by suffering. I think that's... We tend to talk about it rather shocked sometimes, this kind of stuff. Why? We shouldn't be. This has been the norm for that. We've had a privileged position for decades, for centuries in this country because of the Reformation, which actually won us freedom of speech. And that is being eroded. Let's be thankful for the freedoms we do have. We have a lot. But we can see this is one of the areas where it is being eroded. Let's not be surprised by that. It's normal. And we want to be gracious in how we respond. Because if I'm honest, I feel cross about it. And that's not a helpful response. You know, we want to be gracious about it. You know, and win people. Let me pray. And then it's coffee time. Thank you, Lord God, that you are the God who is clear with us. You don't tolerate our sin, but you've done something wonderful about it. You've sent Heavenly Father, your Son, to die on the cross to take our punishment, that we might be forgiven and might be your children. And Lord, we have this message that is the only hope of the world. Help us, we pray, in these days, to communicate that message with boldness and with winsomeness, with love and with grace. that the world might taste and see that the Lord is indeed good. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.